like to call to order the October 18th, 2018 meeting of the City of Mill Creek Design Review Board. If we could have a roll call, please. Present.
Present.
Thank you very much. Next order of business is our approval of minutes from our October 16th, 2018 meeting. Did anybody have any questions, comments, or a motion to approve? We have a motion to approve. Do we have a second? We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Motion?
Second. And then everyone approved. Okay, next on the agenda is new business. It's the farm at Mill Creek building site plan, building elevations, informal review.
Thank you, Chair Gunter. Christy Amrine, Senior Planner. This evening I'm before you with the first of probably several meetings for informal review. So for the purposes of the audience, we do have one resident here. This is an informal study session. It is open to the public, but what it is, the intent of it is for the applicant to have the opportunity to exchange dialogue and ideas and get feedback from the design review board. So they can take that information and in turn solidify their design plan and prepare a package for a formal review for the design review board. And at this point in time, the applicant is coming forward with the residential building elevations for buildings D, E, and F. These are the mixed-use buildings, so they have commercial on the ground floor with four stories of residential above. So in your packet, you have floor plans, you have perspectives, along with elevations, all four sides of the building, including the spine road. So you'll see that in there. And I've included that in the PowerPoint this evening. So if you have to pause and look at your hard copies, hopefully they are large enough that you can look at them. The floor plans might be a little challenging. They are. But we do have Chris Olson here, the architect. We also have Tom Abbott. He is the engineer on it. And we have Jared. He's also one of the architects. And Jared, I apologize, what is your last name? Harwood, okay. And then they will also come up. If you do need to speak, please come to the microphone and state your name and work address for the record. With that, I'm just going to start an overview. The DRV scope and authority this evening, we are looking at strictly at building elevations. The applicant does plan to come forward with commercial elevations, hopefully at the next meeting in November, and landscaping. And let's see, maybe signage after that, and then maybe come back another time or two if necessary before formal review. I will not run through your design guidelines, but I have hard copies of the code and items like that in case we need them this evening. I'm going to provide just a brief overview of the eGov area because it has been a while since you've seen it. Here is the East Gateway Urban Village. The area highlighted in red is the farm at Mill Creek. The other sites that have been developed and undeveloped are identified here, and I'm going to start going from the east end to the west. So over here, this is what was referred to as the Polygon development. It has been constructed. It is called the Meadows and the Towns. The Meadows at the Towns, the Towns at the Meadows. They're both the Meadows and the Towns. They just reversed it. So one's condos, one is apartments. That is where Primrose is at. We have the dentist office along with the public park, which is Buffalo Park. Over here is Advent Lutheran Church. They're an existing use and a very good neighbor. Then we have the Gateway Building, which is right here. They have two approved lots in the back that have been separated, but they have yet to submit binding site plans on them. And they have dedicated area for the spine road to go between those two. And then number four is Uppercuts Hair Salon. And they have their hair salon there along with a there. So actually, there's two residences there. And then number five is the Vintage at Mill Creek, which has been constructed and is occupied by the senior center on the ground floor. And there are commercial spaces, but the commercial spaces are not fully filled yet. The Spine Road is constructed, and there's four floors of senior housing above that. And that was done also by the architect who is here this evening. Let's see. So moving forward over to the west, we have, let me get my arrow here, we have the farm at Mill Creek. So the road will connect through here, and I'm going to go ahead and show you a site plan. This is the site plan that was in your packet. The three buildings highlighted in red are the elevations provided to you this evening. So over here, this is Vintage Phase 1, so there will be connectivity through here with the road and also 41st Avenue. DRB member Hastings had asked prior to the meeting to see an overview of the Spine Road, so I'm going to kind of flash forward to the end of my PowerPoint presentation, if you'll excuse me here, to the bottom, because I do have an aerial of what the intent of what the city intended the area to look like. So here is the engineering plan that was adopted by City Council of how the Spine Road alignment, the conceptual alignment, is intended to be built. It has been shifted slightly with developments, but the alignment and the connections have been agreed upon with WashDOT. We have a controlled access management plan that was adopted by them, and also a base traffic study for the area that each development that comes in there are required to comply with. So here is the light that the farm at Mill Creek.
That light where across the road you would go to Murphy.
Archbishop Murphy, 39th. And so it is operative, and then they will activate that side and build their portion of the roadway and some frontage improvements there. We have an in and out here, right in, right out, and then we also have 44th down here. And this is 41st, this is where Vintage is. The alignment has shifted slightly, and you will see that on your plans before you, so it has actually shifted a little further, I believe, to the south. It potentially may. At this point in time, the city, the Public Works Department, is working with obtaining funding and working with City Council to at least get the connections at 39th and at 44th. And so, Tom, did you want to talk on that issue, kind of on the status of that? It's been quite a project. Okay, I'll go ahead. 44th is here. This is the light that you would take into Buffalo Park, where the dentistry is at, and Advent Lutheran is here. And this is the illustrative master plan. It's an example of how the eGov could be constructed.
Okay, so to add, is the connection on the west side that would go to 35th is no longer possible, that was on the original plan. You can probably bring it up later. It doesn't show on that one, does it? Yeah, it does, actually, doesn't it, Christy? To 35th from the west side, there was a connection that would go over to 35th as well, but there are too many wetlands there, and then a plat was approved in the county that blocked that off, so that's not going to happen. The road that goes off to Seattle Hill Road with a roundabout potentially circled on that plan there, that is still in our transportation improvement program that was just adopted by the city council. It's probably not. It's called Phase 2 of this Spine Road. Phase 1 would be connecting it, as Christy said, from 44th and around the loop and back out to 39th. So that is in the, both those projects are still in the CTIP and officially on the plan. Their scheduling, though, and the funding is not secured.
So this is phase one, as Tom noted, to connect the two lights at 39th and 44th. So we have controlled intersections in and out for development. Anything else? Okay. Any other background information the DRB is curious about before we start in on the specific project? That way you have a framework to work with.
So there's been a change in what was going to be the allowed use over time, right? The original plan was saying,
Yeah, go right ahead.
That's the common perception. If you read the City of Mill Creek Comprehensive Plan, it looks a lot more like what's being proposed with the vintage, what's being proposed with the farm. It was much more residential than Town Center was. It had commercial, but it also had a lot more residential. It actually, at one time, had a minimum number of residential units. Then the recession hit, and then I think the expectations, then Target was sniffing around, and then the idea was, can we make a big box fit into that pedestrian-friendly thing? And we figured out a way that we could kind of do that, and I think that became the expectation. Then Target went away. And then Polygon bought the property. Now it's kind of gone back. And so there's a lot of misconception about what the original plan. The original plan is right in the comprehensive plan. And it's, I think it more aligns with what's being proposed today than what is shown on there with the big box retail on it.
That is it.
Yeah, so that actually isn't a conceptual plan. That was one of the options A and B that were being proposed. To figure out a way to get a big box shoved into a pedestrian plant. And
in the day is actually closer to the original idea.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay.
In 2008, I guess.
2008 is when the plan was adopted. And as Tom mentioned, there was originally a base minimum amount of 400 dwelling units. That way we would have the residential demand there to serve the commercial.
Yeah, we even changed the code to say you couldn't have a store over a certain size. We changed the code to allow something big to go in. It used to say you couldn't have over 15,000 square feet single occupant building. And then we changed the code when it looked like Target might be coming, and then they didn't. So it was all designed more for what's being proposed now as opposed to what was proposed sort of in the middle there.
Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it.
So the development that came in meets zone district criteria with the mixed use was ground floor commercial and the four stories above.
Okay.
So I'm going to hop back.
A question.
Yes.
About that concept of ground floor retail and residential above. Is that more successful today than it was 15 years ago?
Definitely. Yeah, and I think that is one reason why you are seeing it, Mount Lake Terrace, Linwood,
right.
Everett, Mount Lake Terrace Station, they have 600 residential units above ground floor commercial going in, and that's what you see groundbreaking along the freeway there. So we're coming up to speed with our local neighbors here.
How are the live work units playing out there here in Town Center? Are they, yeah, that ought to be my question here.
The live work units have been very popular.
Really?
Yeah, they've been maintaining very well, and in fact the phase three of the reserve, you'll see they're fully occupied. And they've maintained full occupancy. Yeah. Anything on that you want to add with live work units?
Just that's all really interesting, but it's really not the purview of the. It doesn't. It's nice background information, but I wouldn't get too involved in the pros and cons of live and work units.
Yeah. So you do have live work units in this application, and you will see that on how it interacts with the pedestrian level because they are on the ground floor. So you will see that along 132nd as we go through the presentation tonight.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to hop back and going to buzz through this real quick, and then I'm going to turn it over to Chris Olson. So here in your packet, these are the three buildings. We may need to refer back to this later as we go through the process here. This is the overall site plan and layout. Some general information. I provided you a project narrative before you this evening. That is what was submitted with the binding site plan. Site's essentially about 17 acres. They have 380 residential units. 26 of those are live work, about 70,000 square feet of commercial space. They are providing a parking garage, a five-story one, and later on we'll see how that interacts with the elevations. That will come to you later in the process, but please be aware of that. So as far as where the project is at in the development process, they submitted back in March. We provided them technical comments back in May. They are here before you for their first informal review in October. because they are moving forward to City Council with their development agreement, and that agreement has to be adopted by Council prior to the city issuing the environmental threshold document, which is the SEPA document. Then once that has been issued and pending no appeal, we'll move forward and schedule a public hearing. If things go well, we anticipate that to happen early in 2019. So between now and then, I'd suspect the applicant will be coming for you several times, and Chris will outline his schedule for you. So here's your criteria. You're familiar with it. If we need to refer back to it, we will. Here's a picture of the current front end right now, and you can see vintage in the back along here. Here's the overall aerial of it. You can see single-family homes in the back, SR 96, Thomas Lake Shopping Center. We have the commercial center, Archbishop Murphy in the back. And here we go. These are the buildings we're looking at. And with that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Chris here. Chris? Yep. Yeah, certainly you can come up here. I'll just let you go ahead and man the ship.
Cool.
And I'll take notes.
Get to the, there we go, perfect. Good evening, Chris Olson, architect, address 3624 South Manitoba Boulevard, Spokane, Washington. Thanks for your time tonight. Kind of like what Christy said, my goal is to kind of get you guys familiar with this. It's big, there's a lot to chew on, so I figured bring it in smaller bites and talk about certain parts, and then building on that. So next time we'll still have this, it'll be embellished along with, we'll bring the retail in, start to show some landscape. We've got some things that are part of the development agreement that are starting to make their way into the site plan, like festival streets and other things that are, you know, going to happen. It's just they're not there, so they're not ready to show. My goal tonight is just to kind of put it up, talk a little bit about it, and just kind of talk. I mean, it's kind of a, if I present the whole thing, you'll fall asleep. So we kind of go building by building.
And also, Chris, you mentioned we're going to do one building at a time and discuss each building.
Yeah, I think that would probably be the best way to go because they're, for a few reasons. One, the primary design intent is to make sure they all look a little different so it doesn't feel like we have one giant housing project that all looks the same. So you come in, you see one, the next one. But there are subtle details throughout the project that kind of lace it together. And the retail is coming second because they're going to kind of reinforce some of the things we're doing on the ground level of these buildings. So when you're there, you feel like it's, you know, kind of contiguous on the ground level, but it's going to be different. So it doesn't feel like it's just one blanket. We use the same brick everywhere to tie it together. So Building D is our smallest building. A little bit about this one. On the ground level, it's commercial to the north, this kind of one side here. The goal is to put a smaller market in there, kind of a grocer for the site. The back of this one has a small retail bay, and then there's behind that, kind of facing the wetland, there's a little maintenance area there. There's 32 units in this building, I believe. Knowing this building is the only one that's on kind of a flat building pad. The other buildings have about 10 to 12 feet of grade, and you'll see those in the renderings. This one's sitting kind of flat. It's a little bit perched up from the wetland. It kind of drops down into the wetland there. This one, the one thing that we're kind of continuing to work on is some of the modulation on the top. The end walls are kind of flat and blank, so we need to deal with that. You'll see on Building E when we get to that we've treated that a little different. So still work in progress. Material palette on this building is there's brick veneer on the base of the building with aluminum storefronts and steel awnings. The siding up on top would be a horizontal lap siding, a cement board panel, and we're introducing some metal siding as well. Low slope roof with gutters, and then steel decks and vinyl windows with this. This one would front the Festival Street. So on the site plan, if I go back to that, because I think it's kind of worth talking about, Christy, right?
Oh, yeah. And back, there you go.
So Building D fronts this little plaza, and the goal of this plaza is actually introduce more of a Festival Street where the curbs are gone, and you can kind of break out of all these buildings into this large plaza. So the market would kind of front that, and that building would still front that. So in, you know, the days where they shut down the streets and it's more pedestrian, that would be fronting that.
Is that what you call a Festival Street? Is that what you mean by that?
Word? Yeah.
It's not the name of the street.
No, that's a design term for what was the one that we used as an example?
There's one in Kirkland, Mercer Island, and a couple in Seattle.
But the goal with that is to be able to promote more pedestrian interaction in the street and hold events there where you can still cut through the parking. You can still get through the development if there's something going on. So the goal is to pick it from this entry point of F in the end of A3, and you can close it off and do things there. So D is... Yes, so the outdoor display area is it would be part of the market program, so there'd be places to go back, eat. Yeah, exactly, yep. And wetland viewing area. I think there's a part of it would be like a little interactive kind of teaching center about the wetland that's adjacent and stuff. So a little bit gathering space back there. This one is 48'9" from the grade plane, so below the height threshold. On your guys' elevations are kind of small here, but we put the grid lines on there. There's a lot of modulation. These things don't have anything more than maybe 10 to 15 feet in one plane before we step them in and out. And then the decks would project from that, and then the roofs as well. So do you have any questions on D? That one's kind of an easy one, little small guy. Not at the point right now. We have some awnings. They're at different heights and different depths. Right now we're kind of working through maybe doing some recess entries and other things because they do feel flat. I mean, that's one thing that as we kind of get going on things, you start looking at it, you're like, I see how we... So, yeah, we need to jazz that up for sure.
Which is more closer to accurate colors, the elevations or your actual architectural rendering here? Because that looks a lot brighter, you know?
Yeah, it's the sun. Yeah, it's probably this one, probably a little more. It's probably a little lighter than the one in the
color. When looking at these, I just, even though they're different colors, yeah, they were awful dark to me. So
yeah, no, the perspectives are just the, like, when the way the program works when you put it flat. Yeah,
that looks
nice.
A lot better than
yeah,
the
LED. Yeah, yes. This right here?
Yes, and down, yes.
Yes, that's all. Yeah, that's all kind of a kind of a lighter beige brick. And it goes up. Basically, that's the stair tower. So to the left of that's the entry. So adjacent to that is windows and glass, and that's where the elevator lobby is. So when people come to the elevator, they can look out and look up the street and see the whole plaza. And then the elevator runs down that vertical element. And the other goal is that that's a signage opportunity as well for the entrance to the building, as we call it. With the goal is to come up with ways to name the buildings that are kind of towards like the farm. We're trying to come up with some way to do that that's not kind of kitschy. But there's a place there you can do a blade sign or something kind of neat that will tell you which building you're going to.
Where would the retail businesses hang their signs?
So on this one, we would have... There's opportunity for signage to be on the awning or on the wall, kind of depending on how the market would want. I mean, sometimes you see them. That's why we have some of these blank walls. Also for shelving inside is what this program's built for. That's another reason that we have kind of a blank wall here. It's like when you turn off 132nd, the thought is you see that, and there's an opportunity there for us to call out the center and call out the store, things like that. But it does need more there. It's like right now it's a window, and I mean, we got to figure something out.
My comment, I overall like this building, but I do think you need to work on the modulation.
Yeah.
On the end of the building.
Yeah, it's flat. I would agree with you. I agree with you as well.
Do we have any more comments on this building?
No? Okay. On to E. So E, going back to the site plan, E is a 600-foot-long building. It's very long. There's 12 feet of grade change across the building, and there's subterranean parking underneath the building. So there's basically we have stepped retail pads. We have six steps across the building as it goes from east to west. So starting back here at the Spine Road, it moves down. Couple things that are going on here. There's cut-throughs, so you can pass through the building kind of at the third points. And our entry to this building is located right in the middle, which is adjacent to the corner of F, which is the actual lobby and leasing center for the residential development. And that's where, like in these big projects, like the Postal Service makes us put our mail in one building. So the goal was to center our entrance right around F and E at the end of the Festival Street. I always forget the name of that thing. I want to call it Plaza Street. So the goal is that everybody anchors to the corner. That's where, like, the fitness center is. That's where the game rooms are. So people would go there, get their mail, and they can disperse off to their respective buildings. So you'll see in the elevation, we've got some recesses in the tower to kind of break the building into thirds, the brick changes, and the steps. So the goal was to take 600 feet, break it into, like, 200-foot buildings versus just one big wall of apartments down the...
My question was about how you got from the parking building to building E, if you lived in building E and you had to park in the parking building.
Good question. So there's two things. So building E has 115 stalls underneath it.
Oh, and it has underneath
subterranean
it.
Parking.
Oh, okay.
And building E has, I think, about 100 units in it.
Okay.
But you don't have to
park in the garage.
You could park there, or you can park in the parking garage itself. And in F, right in the middle of F, there's a cut through as well. So the way the parking management plan shook out was our stalls that are garaged, which are below E and within F, are the residential stalls. And everything else on the site that's open are the commercial stalls. And that actually supports the counts required. It just kind of shook out luckily that way, which is nice because I was worried that we would have to be bringing commercial park folks through our buildings, through the parking garage, and that's not the case because it's kind of hard to find, which is good. You know, once you're a tenant, you kind of know where to go, but the commercial folks can use all the rest of the parking. So we'll keep the residents off the surface parking lots, we'll keep, and vice versa.
So on this elevation, then, is this white space the cut-through?
That is, yeah. So that's the cut-through at that time. So since that elevation, the cut-through has doubled in size, so it's about 16 to 18 feet wide. So we're really working through the program of that area to get as much daylight through there. So when you pass out of the parking garage through the rear residential plaza and then out the front, it's kind of, and you'll see in the renderings that's actually like 8 feet above the parking below. So you'll come out of the garage and you'll look down into the parking lot versus like coming out to a parking lot because this building's sitting up on a little bit of a pedestal. So back to the perspective. So at the west side of the building, the commercial space gets up in the 19, 20-foot range. It's tall. It's really tall space. This is adjacent to the Festival Street, and these end walls are a little more broken up, change of materials. Probably do something similar to this on the other one without being the same. We'll come up with something. Maybe we'll flip the decks to the end or something on the other one. I don't know. The material language changes. The roof language changes. And then, again, some of the awnings right now, they're solid, just black horizontal steel. They're all going to change. We're going to tweak them up in the different bases of the building so that they don't all just look the same.
How far off do they cover the sidewalk?
These ones, I believe, are 6 feet. Some are as great as 8 feet in locations. And what we're doing there is, because of the grade, and it's not reflected in here because we didn't get there, is like in town center, if you're walking through there, you'll see like in spots where there's an elevated little step up to a storefront with like a rail around it. Here we have like planters that are separating those grade changes. And like it's, everything's built into the sidewalk, so it's not just like rails and things keeping you. Like you can flow up a ramp, down a stair, and into the, and then along the street, it's just a constant elevation. So along the buildings, it's changing with planters, seats, and railings, and then along the street, it's just a constant grade up the road.
So that's hard to see from the renderings right now.
Yes. Well, this one we didn't quite get there, so it just looks like a road.
Yes.
Next round, we've submitted this, have designed all that, so that'll come in the next one. We'll have a bunch of little vignettes of those. Yeah, so
cover for people walking from space to space.
Yes, and that was so coming here tonight, I knew that would be, it's like, oh, you've chopped up the top, great, but the bottom's a big brick. So we're working on like recessed storefronts and areas, a lot of ins and outs, places for signage, changing up of the awnings, and working through that. So we'll have some sections and stuff. So the goal is to really focus next time on the little retail buildings and then, like, our pedestrian experience walking up these streets. Because my goal is I don't want to be like this big cave. I mean, I want people to just really focus on what's happening on the ground. Because, like, even when you're in downtown Seattle, you're kind of focusing on that lower, like, 25 feet and then what happens up there. So as long as this is special, then we'll be good. And it's getting there. Right now it's kind of schematic design. We got it all in there. This is great. Now it's, like, take it to the next step. Lights and things like that. Yeah.
Also, so that if they're going to be out in the moon or rainy, there's a little bit of protection, and yet they can still, they don't have to drive down to the end of the building.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, so we're working on that.
We'll see that maybe next time around? Or
Yeah. So the next time around, there'll be a lot more standing on the sidewalk looking kind of at the building and up the street.
Oh, on this one, again, up there, I know it's a slide or a present PowerPoint up there. That's a lot lighter than what I'm looking at here. I assume you're saying that's probably closer?
Yeah, that is. They're a lot, the grays and the greens are a lot more, yeah, the colors of those paints are a lot more soft.
Oh, you know, right there, there's the gray and the green, and I can see that they're different colors, but they're not dramatically different.
Mm-hmm.
Is there going to be a little bit more kind of different than in the colors a little bit?
Probably. There'll be some definite contrast. Like, when we come in with our material samples, it'll be, yeah, they'll be very obvious, like, what we're doing. The other thing that you'll notice when we get to F, that one, we start to see a little more color show up. So the goal is to kind of, like, you got one that's like, and then one that's like kind of getting there, and then the one on the end is a nice soft earth. Yeah, so the goal is to, you'll walk in here, it's like, oh, goodness, or it's like, what is this? Again, this one, the consistency is everything's got brick on the main level, and then we're taking brick up at entry points. Storefront step down.
Down from the sidewalk into the storefront?
No, the storefronts are kind of, so this is a good one showing. So the storefronts, it's kind of hard to illustrate as we get. So you can kind of see in this one that the grade, it slopes. So from this, it's going left to right. So the height here is less than like here. So these storefronts are stepping, yeah, down the hill. And then that's where the next set of renderings you see will start to show how we're integrating, getting into that.
So I know you guys are handling it a little different, but it's kind of, is it kind of like the building there in town center where
Yeah, the only time you'll take a step is if it's an obvious, like if you're walking along, there'll be steps here, or you can go around a planter and down the side. Like, it'll be very, it won't just be like the sidewalk, just,
right.
It won't, it's, okay. It'll be very obvious when we transition people in elevation versus kind of the, yeah, I know what you're talking about, the little choppy,
yeah.
Quick, where you could trip going down the hill.
Yeah.
So this shot here would be taken from, I guess you'd be standing on one of the little retail buildings in the plaza. And this is just to illustrate kind of one of the first breaks in the building. So this building comes along, get to the cut through. It's got different color palette, different brick on the bottom. And then there's a step back here where this presents the entry, which is the elevator lobby, and the main entry for the residents here. You see the street trees, cars, angle parking, sidewalks. This one's taken from the parking lot looking back up at it. So again, go from this color palette, come over here. Now we get back into a beige. We start to integrate some color. We change up the brick. We run a tall element for the elevator and kind of a glassed-in entry. Residents going there. You can come across the street into the building to the left, which is building F. That's where all the amenities is for the building or for the tenants. This one in elevation is rather large, 566 feet. I rounded up, I guess. We have a building break here, which is a cut through, a building break here, which has a cut through, and then the three different bases. This end here, due to grade and height, the building starts to recess in the ground, and that's where you'll see in the next renderings where we actually have like planters, large stairs, bike racks, just see, it's a very like plaza-esque situation in the front of this, which draws you down into that And then there's, these are recessed back off the face of the building. So this building at the end, and you'll see it in a further slide, actually the storefronts are back. So you'd go down the stairs and in. Yeah, exactly, yeah. So the user there, I mean, they would have outdoor seating potentially, which would be fully covered. And it's nice because it changes the language of the storefront. So the goal now is to take one of these buildings, change that even more so that we have three from the pedestrian level, three distinct base elements on this building.
And you have parking underneath.
Yeah, so underneath this one is a parking garage. Yeah, that's, you can park underneath the building there at grade. Yeah, that's a tuck. And then you actually come in right here down to underneath the building to a subterranean level. So there's just like a little cut. Yeah. And I would compare that to the like split parking garage you have over like by Boston's Pizza here in the town center, where you kind of just dive down in. It'll look like that. So it'll be, you won't really see it. You got to, again, it's resident parking. You got to know how to get there, so it'll be kind of nice.
That building is—that's a lot of parking down there. So it seems like.
Yeah, so there'll be like 100 stalls in there. Actually, it's surprisingly not a whole lot, but enough to support the building, which is kind of nice at a 1-to-1.
Parking under the other portion of E, right?
Right back here.
Yes.
Yeah. So those are coming off of the.
No, I mean underground.
Yes.
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 But you can only access that underground parking from the. Is that the west end?
Yes, I'm right there, yeah. So you go down, go in, you go back out.
Okay.
In the way, I believe, on other developments that we've done with Vintage, they assign parking as residential goes, so like you won't go in and be like, oh, I don't have a stall. It's like your stall is down here at the end. You live in Building E. So they'll have their spots. So we don't have to worry about the second exit out of there for cars. Yeah, no, you're just not going to go down there and try to find a stall. It'll be signed as resident parking only.
And I assume like the parking you pointed out in Mill Creek, there's a security.
So you can't get in without a fob or a card or some sort of access control. Yep.
Might be missing something. The Building E south elevation, we have, I mean, there's a lot of gray blank space here, but you're saying that's subterranean parking, or is this
that? No, that's tucked. So you're, that's it. So the line right now, that's at grade. So you would be able to come in and park underneath it.
All right.
And then along the back of that retail. So commercial users, employees,
okay. Loading. Building material on the outside of it then, the facade material?
On the bottom?
Yeah.
That and the back there, it'll probably be some sort of a siding, I would imagine, back in there.
Brighter color, too.
Could be brighter.
Lighter.
Right now, it's like back of house retail. So okay. It's, you know, you go through, there'd probably be like a couple bathrooms in the back with the rear door to the retail bay. For the user, because when you get back in there, it's the parking stall comes within like 6 feet of the building, and then there's a sidewalk. So kind of like in your traditional strip retail, you'd see rear, you know, they'll take the trash out there to the trash cans, and they'll do all that stuff. And the cut-throughs are for people to walk along the sidewalk, go pass through, and then go to the destination. But the thinking is there's like 40 stalls back there, so the hope is that's more employee parking, and you know that those stalls are being used by.
Like I was pointing out the building, the Everett Clinic building, those kind of things like the garbage and or
mm-hmm.
trash and everything is on the back. It still looks decently nice back there, and there's parking places.
Yep.
So it'll be similar.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, there's places to park. There's sidewalks. There's landscaping. It's not just like, don't worry about back there. Yep.
And those are good.
So any questions on E? Questions, comments?
I mean, I would just, my comments would be make sure the color variation is enough that it, you know, emphasizes the modulation a little bit.
Sure.
Historically, we've been pretty strong on that with previous buildings in the city, and we want to make sure we stick with that.
Good.
And then, you know, down there on that bottom part that is kind of there looks pretty dark. I would say a brighter color or something.
Yeah. Sure. And some of the next renderings that come in along with that other is, again, we weren't quite back there yet. So now that we're resolving the back, we'll actually have people stand, you'll stand in the back driveway and you'll see the garages and you'll see the fence and the retaining walls and you'll see landscape. You'll see what the back of that looks like from the street versus just an elevation with a little cave parking garage.
Okay.
Yep.
I think that'll help you. You're adding the planters and stairs,
yep,
to deal with the grade variation.
Mm-hmm.
We'll see some more modulation on that front part.
Right.
Exactly. I think you're headed in a good direction there. Next time that we see this, or maybe as part of when more of the project comes in, could we see a section through this building and how
yeah.
the grade ties into it?
Yeah. Okay. We'll start including. We'll include some sections and stuff.
That would be helpful.
Yeah. It's yeah.
I think we're good there.
Good on that one. Okay.
Yeah.
Just past the enlarged one. So building F. So this is the building. It's on the site plan. It's a C-shaped building. That fronts 132nd, the parking lot, and Gold Pine Roads. And there's a parking garage in the middle of it. Yes, so the TBD is mainly, we're working through the structural component of it, so once we know how we're building it, then we'll be able to, the goal is when you drive down the spine road, you don't even know it's a garage. You'll just know you pull in it. Right now, it's just kind of, it's in there to show, like, yep, we have a garage here, and it's big and gray concrete, and it's not going to be later, but we didn't want to be like, you can't put a concrete, we just said, well, we're not there yet, so we're going to TBD that. You'll notice on here that the live work units are the kind of the top L, and they front an elevated walkway, and then our lounge amenity zone here, and then there's kind of a commercial. I think it's slated to be more of a medical use, so it's kind of more of an office space type, medical office versus retail, and it's kind of nice as we've been exploring what to do with the sidewalk on this side of the building. We're able to do more like grade level longer planters to take out the grade because of we don't have all these little entrances, so it's not as chopped up. There's just a couple of spots where you come in versus, and there's, so there's a lot more green along the bottom of that one versus the other one where we have to try to get in all the different bays.
So does the commercial at the top there, is that the mixed use there, is that commercial then going to face outward? So
this right here?
Right there.
Yeah, so these live work units face both sides. So there's this in here, there's a path through here with trees and little plazas and seating areas that actually take you down to the amenity area.
So when you're driving along 132nd, I guess it's still 132nd there, you will see that there's retail in the area by seeing retail on the outside, actually, which I think is good because people might not immediately realize there's stores in there. Yeah.
These ones are about 900,
okay.
So they're relatively big, and they have, like, they range from 13-foot to, like, 17-foot ceilings in them. Mm-hmm. So big, tall glass. That's more, yeah, so this is kind of more of, like, what you would start to see, commercial windows, commercial door. Yeah, so this is kind of starting to, this is as far as, yeah, I got, so this stuff starts to show over here, and we'll work through what the materials are and the heights.
The only other thing I had to say about it was, again, some kind of an awning or covering so people walking.
Hmm. So to 132nd, this elevation is showing that. So you have your live works that are running along here, it kind of steps down the hill, the trail that runs by there. We're plugging it into the development here at the low spot on the commercial level, and we're bringing residents down this stair. And then it grades out on the other end over here. So basically you can come here, you stay at the same elevation here, and the parking lot slopes down, so cars kind of disappear. So residents, when they're walking through here, there's raised planters with trees along this area. The amenity zone is here, and then you walk through the middle of the building back to the garage. Or if you continue on, you can go down the stair and go down to the trail and walk back over into the development. So pedestrian-wise, getting to the different buildings, you'd come out of here, come through the building, you could come over here and come down to this plaza, you could come over to the middle and go down into the residential or the commercial.
So when you get a chance, if you pull out your floor plans or when you go home in the evening, if you look at A0000, it has a great floor plan of the commercial level of building F.
I tried to read that.
I'll bring you big ones next time.
Oh, I can get my magnifying glass out.
So on this one, go ahead.
Sorry.
So on this one, you start to see, you know, we have materials that we're carrying from other buildings, and then also we're starting to integrate some color.
Yes.
So we have some yellows and some reds and some other things, some primary colors starting to show up in this elevation. We changed the language of the roof. We're starting to deal with some more boxes floating over a masonry base versus a lot of modulation at the roof. So the goal is, I mean, all these units are the same in floor plan, the ones, the twos, and the threes. So the goal is to basically, I mean, these are three distinct architectural styles between the buildings. However, they're the same. Through that, again, we have to deal with on this one where we brought the base in and the building's projecting out. So we need to deal with some of that weather protection along these streets.
I think that was a good idea, bringing the storefronts out or back into the building and changing the appearance.
And then these are just some supplemental renderings that, like this one, actually, let me go to the elevation. So, yes, your TBD. So this parking garage is in the middle of this building, and the TBD is only, we're just determining how to treat it. There will be some connections at each level from the garage to the building. So if you park on R4, you live on R4, you'll be able to walk into your, you don't have to go through the elevator, down, out, back, up, over your house. So we're just working on how to lace all this together so this elevation just feels contiguous and feels like the garage is part of the building and not this big mass. And we're working through just, are the stairs open, not enclosed, just different, how transparent do we want to make it. We're thinking about integrating some sort of planting, get stuff coming up it. So it's just kind of going through those iterations of what it wants to be.
Underground parking, under
building
house.
No. Okay. So looking down this would be looking west down the corridor here. You can see building D at the end, building E on the left. There's the break in the building. The next break's down here, building F to the right. You can see where the storefronts are obviously buried in the hill. So in the next round, you'll start to see, we'll move over and look down the sidewalk, and you'll see how we're dealing with those. Colors also, make sure we're really get a little more dialed in. Actually, next time I'll just bring what we're going to do. That way we can look at it. So it's like, yeah, this is pretty, but here's what it really is. Yeah, so everything will slope back to a gutter, and we'll tight line it down and out. It won't drip on you. So we'll keep from, we try to do that, not have it just come out and like drip it 6 feet out where everybody walks.
Yeah. Well, I guess I missed that on the, is there somewhere a drainage area for this thing?
Yeah, we have, yeah, so the parking lot is a vault. The whole surface lot is a big vault. Tom can talk a little more to us. My architecture, not civil engineer, but basically we're catching it in a vault, filtering it, and then using spreaders to dissipate it away.
Yeah, I just, you don't need to explain. I mean, just wanted to.
That's about my,
what
it was. About my level of knowledge.
It's very important.
Yes, we're taking care of it. But on these awnings, they will be designed to not drip on your head right when you walk under the edge of it. So.
Thank you.
And I like that so far the buildings all look different, even though, like you said, they're the same inside. They look different on the
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind of that's important to us. It's really it's big. I mean, it's a lot to kind of take in. You look at it and it's like just working on it. You're like, it's massive. But we're trying to break it down into the pieces and parts and get it feeling like it should, not like this job was forced in there and it doesn't. So this shot here is just kind of mid-block looking west, a little closer to D. And on the right-hand side, you can start to see where there's a little bit of a wall from the parking there because there's a grade separation. And on the right-hand side, there's a box that's one of the retail buildings. So a lot of these little retail buildings are 20 to 24 feet tall. They're little single stories, guys. So next time we'll come in here, we'll start have a handful more of renderings of those, and you'll start to see how it all starts to play together.
On building F, the southeast,
there appears to be a like a box that's white that's set away from the building, and then the building has some, looks like it's either painted or grooved lines.
Mm-hmm. So that would be, that's a like a panel, like a large panel siding, yep, that's all sitting up in there.
I thought I wouldn't like that, but it actually breaks up all the windows, and I thought it was...
Sometimes big blank walls actually kind of help these things because they start to just get like... repeated and so we try to break things up and place vertical circulation in spots where it makes sense, kind of like this end wall here. Using the box up on the top allows us to kind of wrap the roof down and around the bottom and then create slits for the windows to lace these four stories together versus the other side, which is the same unit, which just has the holes punched, which kind of ran out of tricks for building D, so we got to go back to the drawing board over there and figure out what we're going to do with that one.
I thought it was going to be too boxy, but it's growing on me. I like the vertical element there.
I think it's different.
Yeah. I think it's a classy touch.
Yeah, I like it.
With your walkway.
Yeah, just like through here, like yeah. This. So yeah, so 132nd where we kind of started working through the, this one has, I think, three steps along 132nd. So the goal is to, for pedestrians to be able to park. This one, live work's a little interesting, right? Depending on what you do and if people come to your office or not, or business. But this one has like kind of a residential zone. We did this, these very similar things. If you ever make it down South Seattle, down White Center, we did a big project down there called Southside. And we have live works running on both sides, and they kind of step down the hill and they break up the mass of the building. And they have these small little planters that come out. So it feels very residential, inviting to the user. However, it's very commercial and feel as the design of the building because it's integrated to the base. So kind of a similar thing here. We're creating for the tenant in here, it would be a little bit more privacy from the street because there's cars whizzing by 40 feet away. However, we want to work on nodding to the commercial base of the building on the spine road where we have that same planter and steps. You can see to the right of this, there's this door. So that's where a step would occur. So this sidewalk runs kind of right along the grade of the street, and there's the pathway between that and this sidewalk and the street, and then behind that's where we're taking care of the steps with the planters. So is that kind of what you were alluding to? So it's kind of like private, public in the zone. Yeah.
So trying to decide, so that's your sidewalk, and I'm trying to see how far those planters sit back. My question is, I wish we lived in a perfect world, but we don't. But we had a situation in Mill Creek where we had not necessarily planter boxes, but architectural elements that were too close to the sidewalk, so the skateboarders would wax the top of the thing and go down the sidewalk and jump up and slide down and pop back off. So that was a problem there for a while. Is this going to be something that will have to be addressed here?
Yeah, So we'll design something that, like this one, you have to be a real good skateboarder to get on top.
Oh yeah, but I was looking at the lower one though. You know, we did.
We'll want to come up with some. Yeah, we're gonna want to put something on there that does not, because on the other side too, it's you'll see the other one. It's like, this is really cool, and a skateboarder is like, yeah, this is really cool.
It was an issue in Town Center. You know, we loved it the way it was, but we had to go back and do some fixes because we had. Didn't look so good after a while after the skateboarders got hold of it.
Yeah, so we'll design in some sort of you know, the goal is, as I was going through this one, is if I can get all these planters to get in that 18-inch range, we can start to play with them as seat walls, and we can start breaking them up and creating things that make you feel like you should sit here, and there's like, it'll make it hard to do anything with the skateboard on them.
Yeah, I would even think, you know, they're long there, but even if you just add some slight modulation in them or something, that there's no long area for them to slide across.
Yep, exactly.
Yeah, so next time, but.
Yep.
Balconies.
Those ones are just cut across the window, but actually have a place to stand.
So those are Juliet rails. Yes. So that's a studio apartment. So that is basically your living room and your bedrooms adjacent to it. So you just, you know, your door opens. It's open to the Juliet rail. We do that a lot in other urban buildings.
My son's condo in Westlake Union has that.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really a balcony, but the door completely opens. You're still standing in your condo, but you have a rail there, you know. And, he's by the water. It's a great view and everything there. So they like it like that, you know.
Totally. Yeah. They don't have the furniture.
Right. Exactly.
So any questions on E or F, I mean?
Actually, on that one, can we go back to the end view where it has
This one?
Yeah, so that's going to be the actual color where it's white.
And I'm it won't be white. It'll be like an off, kind of an off-white color.
Okay.
That's what it is right now. I mean,
that's what it is. Okay. And I guess my thought is it seems like it'd be a hard surface to clean, and maybe if it were a darker color,
it wouldn't need it as often.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys
had similar thoughts, or if you guys think. I like it because the other buildings are more dark.
I see. I like the lighter color, but I do think if you could reach a happy medium where, you know, it's a little darker, so it's.
Yeah, we did a building in Spokane that's it's just enough gray to where it doesn't run when it rains, you know, and like get the dirt on it. It's bright. It's like, whoa, but it's not super bright. Like if it gets too bright, yeah, that's the goal is to accentuate the form so you have like kind of this box, and that's what the white is kind of doing. It circles the units and pulls them together down the facade versus the other one. So, but the goal is that all that to be the same color. So it'll not be like paper white. It'll be a little, yeah.
Okay.
You don't want it to look bad either when it's done. I think that's pretty much all I have on this. If there's any other questions or... the goal is just to kind of feed you in small bites so that when we get ready for final, it's kind of like you know, it's not a big 2-hour like dog and pony show and we have to grind through it all. You'll kind of know what it is.
Having better elevations next time. We won't have so many questions because we'll understand the concept. I like the openings between the buildings. I like having daylight between the buildings because otherwise you have to walk a long way to go.
Oh, for meetings? So my goal is just to kind of try to stay on a every month clip if we can do it. I know holidays are coming and stuff, so we're kind of on your schedule, but I'm just going to work with Christy and find out when I can get in with my next package. The guys working on our retail buildings right now they started when I submitted this. They were going. They waited for me to start this before they went, so they'll have that, and then you know we'll have a lot of the streetscape stuff kind of developed for the next package. And then kind of some of the comments that we talked about tonight, we'll start to integrate some of those things. So they'll look not drastically different, but they'll look a lot better.
If we can stay on a
My goal is just to keep up. I would like to just keep going because I know Ryan would like us to come in next week and talk about retail and the following week for the next one, but can't quite get there. But.
So what we'll do on the staff level is that we'll compile your informal comments building by building and we'll send them back.
And I'm just throwing this out there, but if we need to stay on schedule, I don't know if you remember, but back in the town center days, we had the occasional situation where we had two meetings a month if we had to. So As long as people are available, I don't mind doing that, as long as people are available, you know. Yeah, and his comments were pretty favorable, I think.
Just having more than one meeting a month is probably okay, especially with the informal review, because it doesn't take, I mean, that means a lot of work for him.
That's fine.
But as far as staff goes, we're not writing staff reports and putting together a lot of stuff. So that I think if you're open to that, we're open to that as a staff, and as long as the room's available. So.
Yeah, and as long as you'd have to do a poll to see who could come. And I don't know about everyone else, but Thursday night's always, that's my free night a week usually. So it could be, we could do another Thursday, and I would be fine with that if we needed to.
Third Thursday, so that is, I believe so.
So might we have another meeting then in early December? Is that what you're thinking?
Depending on the applicant, on they have ready and prepared.
Yeah, and our goal is to just, you know, keep going. We'd like, because we don't want to lose momentum.
Yeah. Well, let us know, and as long as we have enough people to make it that can be at a certain day that can make it a viable meeting, then, you know.
Because we have picked up with Planning Commission, so we have to respect their schedule, as we have our chair here already this evening. So, because they start at 7 o'clock, so we are tied to an hour and a half.
Okay, cool. Perfect.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Very nice.
Thank you, Chris.
Looking forward to this. Finally. So, you good to go? Or are we?
Well, actually, I have one follow-up item I did want to share with you. As you remember, this summer you had a second meeting for the Point subdivision, their entry sign. I'd like to proudly say that they have completed it as of today. They came in, and so I went out before the meeting and took some pictures. Their implementation was well executed, and the design that you approved, and they went back and redesigned. It looks really great.
Well, a lot better than, I wasn't at the second meeting, I think. I wasn't at both, actually, but I was, when it was just a slab
yes.
laying on the ground in that first picture, I was like, what is it? But that looks a lot, that looks good.
And I live in the area across the street from that, and I had the opportunity to go over there and tell them what a great job I thought they were
doing. Wonderful. Thank you, Bev. Yes. So all in all, with all the hard work and everything, they did execute a nice entry for their neighborhood, and they're very happy with it.
Yeah. Okay. Great. Thanks for showing us that.
Anything else for the good of the order, Tom?
Oh, okay.
All right. Well, I guess if that's it, we're adjourned.
Thank you. Thank you for your comments.
Thanks for coming.
Thank you.